Smut and Sensibility is an erotic book club that is not safe for work.
Unless you work in a horny business, in which case, crank this shit.
Also, all characters described are of the legal age of consent and fully into their sensual adventures.
So sit back, relax, and let's consensually do this.
I didn't want to hear you crying today, but everything is what it is and you won't stay.
Do it. I'm sitting in a closet, so the only thing that's going to sort of stop us from being able to do this is if my battery dies or if I pass out.
Cool.
Okay, well.
How will we? I think we'll know about the if you pass out, right? Will we, David?
Either, because the recording will stop.
Okay. All right. And then we'll know.
Oh, I got to burp. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is David Laws.
I'm Liz McMonagle.
That's your name. And this is Smut and Sensibility. It's an erotic book club that we turn into a podcast, that we turn into words that you listen to your ears every time. And we have another guest today. I think I'm loopy. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this entire episode in the closet.
You're losing oxygen.
Our guest is Jack Corcoran.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, guys. I am a huge fan of both your podcast and... And apparently literary pornography. So an honor to be here.
Who isn't? We are talking today about Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yes.
Now, babies, and by babies, I mean Liz and Jack, mm-hmm. but I don't mean babies because they're adults, because we're all consenting adults here.
Yes.
We had to dig deep. So Jack said, has anyone done Hocus Pocus? And I said, no, no one's done Hocus Pocus. So I went and I looked for Hocus Pocus. And I filtered everything the way that I usually do. I went to the mature ones and I listed them by most favorited. And then I went to under 5,000 words, which soon we're going to start bumping up, I think, and start reading longer ones. But the first one in that category, White Light in a Graveyard by Dean's Secret Love, which I'm furious that we're not reading something. By Dean's secret love.
Dean's girlfriend is pissed.
It's not smutty. It's three chapters of romance family, and it's like rated M, and I don't know why. And then the next one also says in its description, this is rated M just to be safe. But now we have a new what are we talking about? Erotic word that, or like a fan fiction word that I don't understand. There is some lime. So you all tell me.
Some lime?
What's that mean? If a
lime?
Mm-hmm. And it's capital L. Mm. It says, this is rated M, just to be safe, there is some lime. Probably. So you all tell me.
It's going to get sour up in here. I don't know.
I found it. A lime is a fanfic in which characters engage in limited sexual activity without it being portrayed explicitly.
Okay. I just want to, because you're prefacing it with this, I just want to say that when I picked Hocus Pocus, it was because of like the, you know, Thora Birch's character visits a graveyard and like it's sort of a ghost romance, right? Or mm-hmm. like, or something to that extent. The story that ended up being picked was so shocking.
Hocus Pocus is an overtly, it's an overtly sexual thing. She's got one of the witches got her boobs all up in the corset, and they're all talking about virgins, and the bus driver's making raunchy jokes. But all these entries are rated M, just in case, rated M for eventual happy times. I had to really dig deep.
Well, the one thing that I will say this experience has taught me is how horny of a movie Hocus Pocus is. It is a horny movie.
Did you not realize that initially?
I mean, not really. Like, I just, you know, but like if you watch that bus driver scene again, they have plans. They have ideas about that bus driver.
That plan.
What's he say? They go, we want children. He goes, well, it might take me a few tries or something like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of it that way.
Well, you're not supposed to because it's a kids movie, but we're all adults now and we know.
Mm-hmm. We know. Right. We hear it. We know what's up.
We know
Disney.
Better. The Pizzagate of fucking
Disney. Is it a Disney movie?
It's a Disney movie.
It is a Disney movie. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Directed by Kenny Ortega, eventual director of High School Musical.
Also sexual in nature.
Very horny.
Super sexual.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, Thackeray Binks can get it, and so can that okay. Max.
I'm so glad that you're talking about this because this, I mean, I saw this movie when I was 8 in the theaters, but it kind of, the thing about the movie is it's kind of a cult hit. Like, you'd rent it at Blockbuster years later. And I remember, like, feeling things about Thackeray Binks and Max that I could not quite understand. I didn't, like, quite understand what they were at the time, but I wanted some kind of specific attention from them.
I like that. I really wanted some specific attention. Speaking of specific attention, let's not yet. Let's keep holding on because let's do talk about that. So yeah, I've seen Hocus Pocus in my childhood and definitely at least pieces in my adulthood. Liz, what's your exposure?
Oh, good sir. I watch Hocus Pocus just about every Halloween.
Same.
Like,
it's a gay Halloween classic.
I love this movie, and that's probably why I watch it every Halloween, is because I'm hanging out with my posse, who's all wonderful, lovely gay men. So, like, yep, I love Hocus Pocus.
Say more about that, Jack.
Well, I mean, first of all, you have Bette Midler just wearing fake teeth and chewing the scenery with those fake teeth. Then you have a pre-Sex and the City, Sarah Jessica Parker, who at this point was one of the great character actresses. I mean, she was great in First Wives Club. She was great in like Ed TV. This is before she like established herself as like, you know, reigning queen of television, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have Kathy Najimy, which if there's a 90s movie without Kathy Najimy in it, I don't want to see it.
It probably tanked. Let's be honest.
It probably tanked.
Wait, she's essentially a good luck charm. Why does that make it a gay movie?
You have to ask.
I know. I was like, you know how I know you're
I'm not gay?
Yeah.
I mean,
I hate it here. I'm going to stay in my closet.
Also, like, Bette Midler full on, I Put a Spell on You is.
I mean, that musical number is.
It is a gay anthem. Like, it is fantastic.
It is. I mean, if the fact that they haven't put, like, a beat under that, like, every Halloween in the clubs is a true tragedy.
It is.
Oh, maybe they are. Maybe we're all these.
But yeah, like I love this movie. I watch it every Halloween. I think it's one of the best Halloween movies, like family Halloween movies ever made.
Agreed.
Also, let's ruin it with some smut.
Let's. Did you know there's a sequel as well? Just VV quick. There's a sequel.
Wait,
it's in development by Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Well, what? Bette Midler has been trying to get that made for years.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Please don't do it wrong. Please don't do us wrong.
How could they possibly? You know? I mean,
that's true.
That movie also was such a big part of my like psychosexual development. Like, it taught me what the word virgin was.
Yeah.
Me too, probably.
And in such a negative connotation. Like, if you are a virgin, you fuck up everything or you save the world.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Like, there's only two ways to go.
Like, literally, this the half of this movie is just the movie going, hey, virgin, you're a loser. and then the plot develops from there.
So, Liz, will you tell us what the title of this week's entry is?
100%. So, what, do you just want the title?
I really, at this point, I think I can only handle the title.
Great. So, What the Three Sisters Did While Waiting to Be Resurrected. That's a title.
Oh no, my phone's ringing. Why?
Come on. Megan. Probably. Megan. Hi, Megan.
My wife. It's Megan. No, I hung up on her. She's going to be mad. Sorry. I panicked. I'm in the closet. It's all sweaty.
He's stuck in the closet.
I just want to say, before we begin, the first sentence in this story, I I think I lost hours of my life. I think I just blacked out and woke up.
Don't get ahead of it.
Covered in blood. I don't know. I lost.
Liz, say the title again. I want to make sure I get a clean take of that. And then I will say the little description, and then Jack, you can jump us into what happens in the story.
Okay. Yeah. David, are you texting Megan just to let her know that you're in the midst of podcasting?
Fine.
That's what a good husband does.
Yeah.
She's probably hoping that you're like in a closet somewhere, and you are.
He's probably in a closet hyperventilating right now.
In the interest of truth, you have to leave this into the podcast. You ignoring her phone call.
Not even ignoring, like aggressively.
And then trying to cover it up. Like you're trying to cover it up.
That's my worst nightmare. Like, this is my worst nightmare because I picture Greg doing this and then talking about it with all his friends. He's like, no, this is calling. I'm good. That's okay.
All right, tell us what it's called.
Okay, blessed. So this story is called What the Three Sisters Did While Waiting to Be Resurrected.
And it's by Elieg.
Elieg.
L-E-I-G?
Elieg.
E-L-L-Y-I-G. I don't know. Oh, mm-hmm. L-E-I-G? Maybe. And so our little descriptor here is, Winifred, Sarah, and Mary are hanged in 1693 and must wait until a virgin lights the black flame candle to be resurrected. What they do while they wait is another story.
Oh, is it?
It is truly another story.
It also only has one favorite. So the it is about to have four more.
Yeah,
I will favorite this. Yeah.
It was also published on 420 in 2019.
Blessed.
Okay. So. Wow. This story is but a year old.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And here we are, not giving it time to marinate. Tell us what happens in What the Three Sisters Did While Waiting to Be Resurrected, Jack.
Listen, I'm not gonna go right into the plot because I'm going to try to read this first sentence as neutrally as I can, because it is you know the movie like Bird Box, where like people say something so horrifying that they like have to kill themselves. This is the literary this is an erotic story about Hocus Pocus. And the first sentence is, this fanfic is dedicated to Janie. Can we say the full name? I mean,
sure. I mean, it's in there. It's all right. Yeah. Someone wrote it.
Public.
To Janie Stamm on her 31st birthday. This fanfic, and this is an erotic fanfic, is dedicated to Jamie Stan on her 31st birthday.
That's what got you? What about the next sentence?
Oh, congratulations, my little zit, on being a kick-ass artist and friend. This one is for you. What does little zit mean?
I hate that. If anyone calls me a zit, we're not friends anymore.
I legitimately read that and I was like, oh, I'm all in. Like, I was like, this is going to be, this is going to be a brilliant ride, and I can't wait to board it. Because let me tell you, anyone who refers to their great friend as a kick-ass artist, but also as a little zit in the same sentence, is the type of friend I hope I have one day.
Well, but you're making an assumption.
Even when I have friends.
Zit could be sister, and if this is dedicated to someone's sister, I will throw myself off the top of my house.
No, I think that first of all, that would be too much considering the content. But I think it says friend. I think they're friends.
Oh, Jack, you took it to another. I take back what I said.
That's where I went.
Oh God,
we don't know.
Oh, that's
we are treading into some taboo territory.
some would say magical. Territory? Nope. See what I did?
No one would say that, Liz.
Okay, guys, this has been so great. Thank you so much. I really love being a guest on your podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married.
We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So essentially, it takes place in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie where we're in 1693 and the older, you know, Sanderson sisters are about to be hanged after they sucked the life out of Thackeray Binks's sister. What was her name? Emily.
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 Yeah, because he says it 1,000 times.
Emily.
And so they knew that the book would allow them to come back to life once a virgin lit the black flame candle. And now this is where it gets interesting, because we are moving into a sort of, I want to say, like, underground theater experimental version of the afterlife.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is nothing even remotely referenced of this in the movie. So this is his or her own creation. And so they go while they waited for the virgin. It turns out that when waiting for a virgin to light a candle, you wait in a waiting room.
Okay? Yeah, this is no exit. This is very, like, this is Albie presents Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, exactly. This is like a true Buñuel film. Like, I've just like, it is 20 square feet. Now, I'm trying to, like, think of what a 20 square, I mean, that is no space at all, right? It's not no space, is it?
20 square feet, 20 by 20.
I mean, that's not a lot of space.
I have a confession to make. I have just left the closet, so I apologize if the audio sounds a little different, but I can't sit in there anymore, and I'm in a bedroom in this Airbnb where I am right now. And,
is it 20 by 20?
Yeah.
It's definitely smaller than 20 by 20. 20 by 20? I mean, think about a 20-foot ceiling. That's big.
Well, height-wise, but I mean, like, if you have to, like, walk up and down a room.
Listen, it's not where I want to spend eternity, but.
Yeah, if you're cast to eternity of waiting until a freaking virgin lights a candle, then yes, it's a very small space to wait.
At what point do you just give up?
Can you even give up? You can't give up. You're in the waiting room.
You can't.
They're already dead.
Right.
But, all the walls are white. The carpet is gray in a maroon with a diamond pattern going diagonal. Inside the waiting room, there are three chairs, one low coffee table with an issue of Golf Digest, a coffee machine in the corner that forever has burnt decaf Folgers, and finally a clock whose time means nothing. This is... The this Golf is Digest is so specific. Yeah. I gotta give her points for that.
I thought this was a relatively young writer, and I still think that they're relatively young, but for some reason, like, my estimation of them just, like, started jumping all over the place in that paragraph specifically.
But that being said, congratulations, my little zit connotates a younger person who is turning 31.
Oh my God, what a good Hardy Boys clue you just did.
This is where we, like, hack this and, like, track this person down, right? Like, we try to
let them come to us, but nobody has so far. I've started emailing authors and none of them respond.
That's because I think we're faking it. We're, like, just creepy. We should send them our headshots.
I'm afraid that they think that we're, like, gonna be mean, and I really, really don't want to. I really, really, really want to talk to someone about their fan fiction.
Anyway,
go on. Tell us more. We haven't even gotten to it yet.
So there. First of all, the Golf Digest is there, which we have to discuss in just a real pointed detail, because that is a lot of connotations. So for the first 5 or 6 years, the sisters plotted, dreaming of scenarios that involve virgins and escape. The next 50 years, the sisters fought tooth and nail, almost killing each other. How does that happen if they're already dead? Can they die in the waiting room?
Can they?
Do they require sustenance? Do they know how to use a coffee machine? They spend most of their days changing uncomfortable positions to sleep in the waiting room chairs. Around year 200, things got weird.
Sure did.
Sure did. Well, which, how did they get weird? What happened?
Oh God, I'm responsible for this content.
You don't have read it line for line like you are, but okay. I was hoping you'd just tell us what happened.
It's not a long story.
It is very short.
It's very short, but okay. So apparently, Winifred now, which is, as we remember, Bette Midler in very dramatic fake teeth is having a really raunchy sex dream about the zombie Billy Butcher, right? Who she was his lover, and then she killed him and sewed his lips shut so he could keep her secrets even in death. And then so she has a really steamy sex dream about him, wakes up, and in far few what I consider, I don't want to editorialize right now, but in far few steps comes to the conclusion that she is going to go down on her sister, the Sarah, which is, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker's character, mm-hmm. while she is sleeping. She does this, and I want to say Sarah wakes up and realizes what's happening, and then kind of consents and goes along with it, while Mary wakes up and just rubs one out while looking at them in the background. And then they all finish and have to live with the shame of what they've done for another 100 years.
Like, yes.
Implied. That is what is implied, yes. I you know, who knows? Maybe they got over it.
It's fascinating that it's a prequel. Like, it's meant to inform what happens in the actual movie, Hocus Pocus.
It's almost even like a betweenquel, right? Because, like... We get footage of the 1600s in Hocus Pocus.
You're right.
So this is sort of like a lost scene. This, you know, this really conjures up for me. This conjures up for me the waiting room scene in Beetlejuice. Where also like weird people are waiting. This is very that, except obviously hopefully a lot more private.
The implications about death and about the morality of these sister is so...
They're witches.
They're witches who suck the lives out of children.
Yeah, but and each other.
To serve each other. But to serve, like, literally, Satan. This movie makes no bones about it. They are Satan worshipers. And they feel weird about incest? I don't know if those two things go together, but it seems like there's more morality that could be explored, like more of a gray area.
Yeah, you feel like their taboos are a little more loosely defined than ours.
They're murderers. They're
I like that Mary is able to really control herself. She's edging, as the kids say. And by kids, I mean adults.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're breaking your own rule there, David, aren't you?
I'm not breaking
Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
I'm going to edit this entire podcast. I'm just going to put a big like censor bar on the whole thing. like you said, it is short. It's like a 3-page thing. And again, maybe I will dig deeper, and maybe when we have Jack on again in the future, we'll find a more erotic one. But you would think, this is really a call to arms more than anything else. Someone write some really horny fan fiction for Hocus Pocus.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you can't, no matter what, this person swung for the bleachers. Like, they did not, like, you could do, like, as far as erotic fan fiction goes, there's a lot of people horny for each other in this movie that, like, they could have written about, and they did not.
Where did you think this was going to go? Where did you think Hocus Pocus fanfiction was going to go?
I thought it was going to be like, you know, Max and what's her name? Allison would like come back years later and be like, you know, you never lost your virginity to me and blah, blah. And then it would be that kind of thing or whatever. Or it would be like Thora Birch's character visiting the graveyard and like the ghost of Thackeray Binks, hopefully who has aged into a more appropriate physical body, would then have sex, you know, and they
I 100% thought it was going to be Sarah Jessica Parker's character, and I guess that's maybe just because of how I viewed her in my budding adolescence watching this movie, but
she pretty much does a pole dance on that broom while she's singing that song.
She does, yep. Dude. Oh yeah, that song about the comet. I can't sing it because of the words.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah. But she's up and up on that broom. She's down in that broom. She's exploring every surface in that broom.
She's sanding that broom.
She's sanding that broom. She is polishing that broom and resetting that broom.
Yeah, she's varnishing it. What are the themes in this piece? What's this piece about? What's it saying?
I mean, it really is like it is a startling, like it does leave you with a sort of like chilling idea of like these sisters trapped in this bland, like stimulus-free room, forced then to like reduce to wanton acts with each other. It is grim. It is a grim story.
Let's remove the familial relations just for argument's sake, and let's even maintain, like, let's make an assumption based on their actions in the movie that these characters are trapped with people of their opposite preferred sex or of their non-preferred sex. How long would it take you, trapped in a 20 by 20 by 20 room with a person that was not, like, for me it would be with a man, and for Jack it would be with a woman, and for Liz it would be with
everybody.
How long would it take you to resort to sex? Not 200 years is my thought.
No.
Yeah, I was like, how long do I wish I would wait, or how long would I realistically wait?
I want to know both, because I'm hoping that the latter is like, well, we've been in this room for 10 minutes. I guess there's no getting out.
If I got to weeks, I and like everyone was like feeling like a good vibe. I don't think it would take more than a couple of weeks.
It depends how many people were in there, right? Like
three.
How many,
like, am I there with like my grade school teacher? Like, what are the factors here? You know.
And even then, you know.
Even then, I mean. Then would it even be weak? No.
Oh my gosh, we're locked in this room. Wait, have we tried that door that says exit? No, we're locked room.
Don't try that. It's locked. I tried it. I already tried it. Don't try it.
My
clothes are already off.
It is, you know, there are these themes of like it's a primal thing, right? What I find very interesting is how starkly she's really aroused in the dream, and then when she comes to, it's like it feels like a switch, right? There's like an on and off switch. There's like nothing arousing in it. What's it say about like she had been so close to coming, but now that she was awake, the chair just felt like a hard pole in a gray waiting room. That's such a like stark contrast that I really enjoyed.
And we've all been there, right?
Yeah, of course. Who hasn't? You know what I mean?
That's sometimes the thing. I don't know that I have. When you wake up from a sexy dream, you're not like still horned up.
No.
I mean, I really?
Well,
oh, I no, totally I guess, am. Maybe this is a
are you?
Testosterone thing. For, like, oh, yeah. No,
if I awake from a sexy dream, I get disappointed if I didn't finish from the dream. Does that make sense? Is that weird?
I get disappointed if I did. Because then it's like, God damn it. And you know, there's laundry involved.
Well, I think that's what's interesting and what's different about men and women, right? Like, or like our bodies and whatever have you. But yeah. I think like for me, it's like, oh gosh, darn it. Cause then it's, you know, and then it's weird. Cause then you're like sleeping next to your husband and you're like, okay, should I explain to him what just was going on in my mind? And do we start from there? Or do I just take care of it myself, right? Like DIY. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. So interesting.
Is it? I have a confession to make. This is the part of the podcast where I have a confession corner.
Ooh, I like it.
The older I get, the less interested I am in being woken up for sex. Is that just me?
Nope.
No,
it is 100% everyone.
So. Oh, thank
We're
God.
All just getting real tired. And you know what? I love sleeping. I love sleeping. Sleeping is my favorite. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at it. And
do you know how rare it is? Like just to get a good, like a a solid 8 hours uninterrupted. Oh. You know what I mean?
I guess
like that's
point,
worth
yeah.
its weight in gold.
When my Fitbit tells me that I have an 85 or higher sleep score, let me tell you, I feel accomplished. I feel accomplished, and I feel like humping a chair, and that's great, and it's good for me.
That's a good text. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jack, what did you find challenging in this piece?
Like challenging, like. No matter how far I got into this piece, every 2 seconds the sentence dedicated to this person on their 31st birthday kind of kept like popping back in my head, you know. So that really was like, I was like, this is a gift to someone. Sister ravenous sisters resorting to just almost non-consensual incest, like this is a gift to someone.
Do you think that they asked for it, or do you think Janie Stamm is just always talking about like, God, I wish those sisters in Hocus Pocus fucked?
Yeah, she's just using it as an excuse. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know what? I was going to write you a birthday card. The birthday card kind of got long, but and then you know what? It eventually just turned into this.
She like wrote it on the way to the birthday party because she didn't know what else to get her.
Yeah, yeah, this was originally handwritten in a Hallmark card.
What did I find challenging about it? I mean, like, other than the obvious, I don't know what there is to be challenged by.
What's the obvious, David?
The obvious is what exactly the phrase that Jack just said, the borderline non-consensual incest.
Yeah.
The whole piece is challenging, but with like, I guess the only other thing that's challenging is again the sort of like existential dread of like, of course they're like, this explains so much about their behavior in the movie.
Yeah,
because that's not what you hope happens to them. You hope that like when they're dead and waiting to come back, they're like, you know, just atoms floating around. But this is dreadful.
I mean. The subtext is that this person watches Hocus Pocus and on some subtle level senses this kind of relationship between Bette Midler, Kathy and Jimmy, and Sarah Jessica Parker. They all sat down and discussed their backstories and like have peppered their performance with this.
That's my thing is like I almost wish that this weren't, or no, I guess I can't tell if I'm gladder that this is a present or not, because a lot of times I am very curious about like, where did you come up with this? Like, where did this reside in your head? Did you write this because like this gets you off? Did you write this because you thought this was what other people were going to like? And in this way, I guess that question is answered. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Liz, did you have any other challenges before we move on?
I mean, other than the fact that they're family, but I guess here's what's weird too. I don't think I ever thought about the Sanderson sisters, even though I know it says that they're sisters. I never really pictured them being like actual sisters. I don't
know why.
That's
a great point. And I think that it's because of the hair colors.
And that's what I'm sticking to is like, I don't necessarily think they're biological sisters. So that helped me.
Okay, that's an interesting take.
Thank you. It's what I...
They just all have the last name Sanderson.
But they talk about mother in the film. Remember? Mother's Batberry Pie or something like that. And they're like mother.
Mother could be the head of their coven.
Oh, that's right.
It could be a like code name.
Like a drag mother kind of thing?
Maybe it's...
Sure.
Maybe it's like, maybe they're just all adopted. And like, I'm not saying that that's more excuse.
I am. I'm saying if they're not biological sisters, what took you so long?
It would have taken me 1 year, let alone 2 months.
Sarah Jessica Parker was hot in that movie. Come on.
But like, the fact that, here's what I love about that, is like, if we are saying that they are sisters, what do their parents look like? Because in order to have a Bette Midler looking person, a Sarah Jessica Parker looking person, and a Kathy Najimy looking person, that is a very amazing, incredible array of shapes, sizes, characteristics, whatever. Like, but I guess I still found it challenging because like
Sarah Jessica Parker is also 19 years younger than Bette Midler. That's quite a gap for sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Kathy Najimy's the middle child. Oh, that's nice though. I like that. Anyway. All right. Wait.
She's very much a middle child.
Absolutely, she is. God, lover.
What do we think about? I have now moved on to Jack's way of thinking. This is Leig, the mm-hmm. author. Who wrote this?
I think it's lady.
Other than a great friend,
I get a feminine vibe from the writing.
I agree. Too.
There's a lot of attention being placed on the clit, so and like in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would you know,
also and if I like I think if we're talking about taste levels, like use the word swollen sparingly, almost never at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't want to think of something swollen.
I want ever. You to get it checked if it's swollen. Like if
yeah, if it's swollen, it requires medical attention.
I don't know how you're gonna feel about this, but I have to let you know this is this author's only story.
Yep, it was her. It was the only gift she decided to write. I think she's French. Is that the French flag?
I think she's French. She's got a little French flag next to their ID. I also think it's a woman. I assume someone named Ellie. What I think is really interesting is they joined fanfiction.net in July of 2008, and then this didn't come about until
2019?
April 2020, wow. 2019. They had the wait. How that's neck. Wild.
Ellie was like, I will be a longtime fan, but now I'm going to give you what the world needs. And that is.
She started this account in 2008 and went, I don't know what it is. I don't know what, I don't have it yet. And then 11 years
she's been working on this story since 2008?
Yes.
That's now what I hope. That's exactly what I hope. But she started writing this for her friend when her friend was 20 and for Janny. Stam at 20 and then
Janny Stammy was like, you whatever. Know, yeah, yeah. Just kept talking about Hocus Pocus. Maybe here's like the backstory. I think they watch it every year together, every Halloween. Mm-hmm. They watch Hocus Pocus. She's had like a lovely like little lesbian crush on her, and she like ooh, is so okay. proud of her for being a little kick-ass artist and a best friend and a little zit. Mm. And she just wants to pop it. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm looking, trying to see if that's a French thing, calling her my zit. I don't know. I don't
it's
see that.
It's not a French
anywhere.
Thing, David.
It's I don't know.
Weird, it's a weird thing between two weird friends who I love. Ugh. I'm going to start calling you my little zit.
Please, 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 if you value me in any way, shape, or form, please do not.
Well. That's a lot to ask of me, David.
How? All right, let's fucking rate this thing. We're running out of time, Jack.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. 10 being the most erotic and 1 being in opposite erotic, like anti erotic. How do you rate this piece?
I was not turned on by this piece at all. Like I was mm. genuinely I.
Were you turned
I, yes,
off?
I felt I was turned off by
whoa.
By this.
First so, but, sentence, David. He couldn't forget it.
It was the first sentence. I could not forget that it was a birthday gift. And so I'm gonna give this I'm gonna give this a 2. I'm gonna give us a 2.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Liz.
Is it bad if I say 8?
Wow, no,
it's,
not okay. at all. No judgment.
It's not bad.
No judgment.
Well,
right?
But also not no judgment. No. It's not bad, but also I judge you.
No, judgment, David. Judgment.
You gave it an 8. You found this. You found this very erotic.
Here's what I will say about this. I found it lovely and erotic and wunderbar. I also hated that I found it lovely and erotic and wunderbar. I think like I every single turn I was like that's hot, and then I was like ooh, but they're sisters. Every single time,
right?
I was like, oh yeah, that's hot. Oh, but they're sisters. Oh, I can't find that hot. Oh, but it is. Because I'm also well, like.
Sounds like this was a gift to you.
It really was. Thanks, Janie.
Honestly, it makes me feel better about my giving it a 6. So.
Thank oh, oh, God, no! I can't believe I was the highest at this one.
Whoa. You absolutely were. You found this as erotic as our piece on Wicked. You found this as erotic as.
Oh, man.
Almost as erotic as our piece on Toy Story, which we can both agree was. Incredibly erotic.
Very erotic.
Oh, I have not heard it.
Oh, Jack, you're going to love it.
Yeah, just you wait, Henry Higgins. It is.
What about literarily? Could this piece survive as a published story?
Listen, I was thinking about this actually. It's, I think its brevity actually works against it. Like like it, if this were like expanded to like a 2-part, 8-hour Angel in America length play, like this actually might be high art. Like, you know, like, I don't know, but everything feels so rushed. And it, so I just don't, the
Jack,
frantic energy
like
of it, I don't think works toward
years.
It.
Jack, it's been 300
right.
years.
But
it's
give me a taste of those 300 years. Sure. Give me a taste.
It's a good point. This is borderline porn without plot in that way. I wouldn't have minded a bit more backstory as well. So what do you give it, Jack?
Literarily, I'll give it a solid 5.
Hmm. Great. Generous, I think. I give it a 3. I think that I understand that Ellie wrote this, L-E-I-G wrote this as a friend gift, and I think that this is probably not L-E-I-G's chosen profession or vocation or even hobby. So I don't feel bad giving them a 3 on this one. I think that it's got room for improvement. Liz?
Let's say 5.
Great. Make me look like a butthead.
You made me look like a butthead.
I didn't make you look like a butthead. I made you look like you got turned on by...
You make me look like a horned toad who was like, yeah, get it, sisters. That's weird. Can I lower my score?
No, never.
Fine. I regret
Jack,
nothing.
What about faithfulness? How realistic do you think this is to the given source material?
I would actually give this the lowest score because I believe.
Wait, what?
Because, if you've seen this movie as much as I have as a child, you know that Winifred explicitly says that they have spent the last 300 years in hell worshiping at the right hand of Satan.
Maybe
that's what she means.
Oh,
it's a lie.
they're trying to up their hype.
Well, we were in hell. We were not eating each other out for sure.
Oh my god. You know, actually maybe I buy it more as a prequel. I might buy this more. Yeah, okay, so I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
Okay.
Liz?
I'm giving it a 7. Here's the thing.
You loved this story. Just say it out loud. You loved this story.
I have no shame. I absolutely love this story. I was so excited to talk about this today. I've been talking about it all day, but it was just what I needed. And I don't know what that was. And I'll say no more. It was perfect.
I give it a 6. I think that I could definitely see it existing within the world. Just because, because again, like, there's 1600 witches. The stuff's different, you know. I don't know.
It's true. They don't. They're not. The taboos aren't the same.
Yeah. Right.
And here's all I could picture was like Kathy Najimy's like crooked face that she does for Winifred while she comes. Like that's what I pictured, and it brought me joy.
Oh, you know what? That's what lowers it a little bit for me. I think I could have even gone as high as a 7 or an 8 if. And again, I think this is just about my like where I was in my perception of the movie as a growing up. That's what I'm going to start calling underage people when we're referring to them now as a growing up.
That's a good idea.
When I was a growing up watching this, I would have rated this higher if I would have assumed that Sarah Michelle Gellar oh my god, that's not how I met Sarah Jessica
Sarah
Parker.
Jessica
character.
Parker. Sarah Parker. Who was on your mind?
Well, another portion of my.
Oh my god, the Buffy fanfic must be insane.
I was just going to say, hello, we have to do Buffy.
Oh, we'll get there, don't you worry. But I would have thought Sarah would have been initiating this. I don't see this as Winifred behavior.
No.
That's just me.
Because, I mean, like, Sarah's the horny one.
Right, Sarah's the horny. Okay, good. I'm glad that's not just me.
And also, like, Mary would have smelled it. Like, Mary has a super sense of smell.
100%. Oh man.
Like they're in a closed room together.
I would have not doubted for a second that Winifred would be the one to start it.
Interesting.
And then
I don't want to talk about this anymore because
Sarah would have been going with it. 100%.
Jack made this weird. It wasn't weird.
I'm right.
I'm gonna go back in the closet for a while. Any other parting thoughts about this piece?
Well, family is everything.
Cool. Good theme. Good job. Good job with a theme, Liz. I love that.
Well, yeah, thanks. Family, I was so ready for everything. It. Or also, it gives a new meaning to sisters. Tonight we dine, you know?
Okay. That's great. Everyone, my name's David. That's Liz. Jack's been here too. I'm turning it off.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was a blast.
Jack, oh, my God.
Doing this. I wouldn't have expected any less from you. And
he expected more from me, but you know, what can we do?
When they do the sequel, we'll get together again and maybe we'll write our own fan fiction.
Oh my God.
Are you guys either in fear or looking forward to like this podcast getting so big that people start writing erotic fan fiction about you two?
It's crossed my mind. I won't lie. It's an inevitability that I'm prepared for.
Oh my God. Good luck, everyone. I guess
that's how you know you made it.
Look like we made it.
Mercer. Oh God.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. All
right, bye, guys.
2, 3, 4. Please, I'm down with the bad.
Hosted on dimlywit.com.